Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, one last chance for freedom. John chapter 8. And Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. John 8 and verse 32. And ye shall know what?
The truth.
And the truth shall what?
Make you free.
They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? You know, there's so many Americans that would say the same thing as these Jews. The Jews, you know, when Jesus tells them, you know, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and the Jews... They say what they're thinking. What do you mean, free? We're Abraham's seed. We're not in bondage to any man. What's interesting is that they were in bondage under the Roman Empire. But we are so blind, aren't we, to see the bondage we're in. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be what? Free indeed. Truly free. Praise God. I got out 7 envelopes this week to send out some gospel tracts. And so the way I usually do it, you may laugh at this, but you won't laugh at the first part. I pray. I know you won't laugh about that part. So I just pray, Lord, lead me. But then I close my eyes, and with this index finger, I have the phone book open, and I'm praying, and Lord, show me the person. And this week I said, Lord, show me the person that might be closest to death. And wherever my index finger lands, that's where I send the gospel tract. And so the last envelope I did this week, that's what I was praying. Lord, may this go to someone that might be closest to death, that they could hear the truth before they die. Well, when I opened my eyes, my index finger was pointing to a business called Forever Yours. And I thought, wouldn't that be wonderful if whoever opens this gospel tract at that business would be forever the Lord's, that they would get saved. And they could say that, the business they work at, Forever Yours. You know, that's what it is, isn't it? When we get saved, when we humble ourselves before Almighty God, as we saw in Sunday school, like a little child, admitting our sin, admitting our faults, admitting our failures, and coming to Christ depending only upon His pure and precious blood, that's what we become at that moment, don't we? Forever yours. Forever yours. And I thought, well, that is really something. If I would have just been reading down through there, I would have never sent it. I would have never sent it to a business. But many times God leads me to, you know, someone opens the mail at businesses. And so I just pray someone would get saved there. In John chapter 10, verse 28, John 10, 28. The Bible says, and I give unto them what? Eternal life. You know, there's no such thing in the Bible as temporary salvation. It's always eternal or everlasting. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall what?
Never perish.
Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We was talking about, well, we was talking about goats and cows, milking. I was asking Brother Steve, we were out witnessing yesterday, and And I asked him if they milked cows on their farm when Brother Steve was younger at home. So he was telling me about that, and that for a while they did have some milking cows, and what a workout that gives the hands. And I was telling him, my grandpa Rector worked in a factory and had a farm on the side, and his thumbs were probably like twice as wide as my thumbs. I mean, he had milking hands. I mean, you see those people that milk by hand, and I mean, their fingers are thick. They're wide. Their hands, they're strong. And you think about that here. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So, on these envelopes, when I send out gospel tracts, then I come to, many times addresses will say like a township. You know, it may give a street address and then just say Oakfield Township or Eureka Township or whatever township it is. Well, that doesn't help you with a zip code. You know, okay, when I grew up, we had a Rockford zip code. We had a Greenville phone. And just around the corner, you could have gone to Cedar Springs to school. But we went to Greenville. So just knowing the township doesn't really tell you where the zip code, where to send it. So on the very last envelope I did, all it said was Tyrone Township. And so I found, and that one was Kent City is what it ended up being. And so, but I noticed the article below that when I did that search online, and it said this. It said, fatal accident, Peach Ridge, 21 Mile Road. So the corner of Peach Ridge and 21 Mile Road. And after having just prayed that the Lord would lead me to that person that might be closest to death, and then to see this article below that, I thought, I've got to read that and see what it says. It was a police report from the Kent County Sheriff's Office. The accident happened on June 1st of 2019, so it happened 2 years ago. It was at the intersection of Peach Ridge and 21 Mile Road in Tyrone Township. It said the initial investigation showed that the vehicle eastbound on 21 Mile Road failed to yield the right-of-way and struck a vehicle traveling northbound on Peach Ridge. The one traveling northbound on Peach Ridge was a 74-year-old man. He was pronounced dead at the scene. And I looked at another article, and his car was bottom side up off the road. It said the driver of the eastbound vehicle refused treatment at the scene. So the one who hit the older man refused treatment. It said alcohol is not believed to be a factor. Next of kin has been notified. The accident remains under investigation. Personnel from Rockford Ambulance and Kent City Fire Rescue assisted at the scene. So as I said, the one killed was a 74-year-old man from Kent City. The one who failed to yield was a 33-year-old man from White Cloud. And so after just praying about God, lead me to someone that might be closest to death, and I found several things interesting. Number one, reading about this, the accident happened on a Saturday afternoon at 3:50. And I'm thinking the next day, 2 years ago, would have been Sunday. And so I'm thinking this elderly man would not be able to make it to church the next day. I don't know if he was saved or lost. The one who was killed, actually, I found out later on in my reading, has the same last name as the person to whom I was sending the gospel tract. So I don't know if it's a relative or just shares the same last name. Maybe a relative. But I'm thinking, this 74-year-old man, if we would have been out witnessing and just saying, please come to church tomorrow, the 74-year-old man would not have made it. He was going to die. We normally go out witnessing Saturday morning. This man died at 3:50 in the afternoon on Saturday. If we would have come to his house and invited him, but not tried to share the gospel with him, he would have never made it to church the next day. He was not going to live that long. And so it really made me think, you know, in witnessing, you know, our goal is not just to invite them to church. We do that, but our goal is to try to talk to them more and give them the gospel. Notice with me in 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Well, when is that time accepted? And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, what? Now is the accepted time. Behold, what? Now is the day of salvation. Saturday morning would have been the time of salvation. If that man was not saved, Saturday morning would have been the time of salvation, because Saturday afternoon he'd be in heaven or in hell. It'd be too late for that 74-year-old man. Notice with me in James 4, James chapter 4. I just thought this is really interesting. I've just prayed that, and this is what I'm finding. In James 4, 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even what? A vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, normally in the morning when you go to work and it's foggy, I mean, it normally doesn't last all day, does it? You know, in an hour or two, normally it burns off. So, our lives are like a vapor. Just because we go to work doesn't mean we're going to come home. We may die. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if what? If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I'm sure that 74-year-old man did not know a 33-year-old man was going to run the stop sign and kill him that afternoon. So, number one, the accident happened on the Saturday afternoon at 3:50. That man would never live to get to church the next day to hear the gospel. He wouldn't live that long. Number two, I thought about this. Our sin and mistakes hurt others. Our sin and our mistakes hurt others. So the 33-year-old man failed to yield the right of way. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 3. Our sin and mistakes hurt others. Genesis 3 and verse 6. The Bible says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto who? Her husband with her, and he did eat. So, when Eve partook, it ended up hurting her husband, because, for whatever reason, Adam ate of it, too. The Bible tells us he was not deceived, but nonetheless, he still did it. I mean, have there ever been things that you have done that you knew it was not the right thing to do, but you did it anyway? Well, that's Adam. He knew it wasn't the right thing to do, but he did it anyway. And it just made me think, how many things have I done in my life that has hurt other people? Well, way more than I even know. But I don't fully know the answer to that question, but one thing sticks out to me about hurting someone else. I was once responsible for a man being falsely arrested and put to death. Who was it? Jesus. It was my sin that put him on the cross. He was falsely arrested and he died. You talk about government being dishonest. Pilate said three times, I find no fault in him. But he still had him whipped then and delivered him over to be crucified. My sin did that to Jesus. Now notice in Isaiah 53, Isaiah chapter 53, Our sin always hurts other people. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for what? Our transgressions. He was bruised for what? Our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We have turned every one to what? His own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, I'm praying, Lord, please help me to send a gospel tract to someone that might be closest to death. He led me to this place and this person. So the accident happened on a Saturday afternoon at 3:50. Our sin and mistakes hurt others. Number three, the guilty one refused treatment. It just amazed me. It just stuck out to me. Okay, there's this accident scene. A man has died. And the guilty one refuses treatment. Now, I know the reason he refused treatment, obviously, was because he was not physically hurt bad. But the picture of the whole scene is clear. He refused treatment. His sin had caused the death of another man, and he refused treatment. Just think, the sinners on this earth, which is everyone, and just think how many of them have caused the death of Jesus, which is all of them, and look how many are refusing treatment. They think what? They think they're okay. Our daughter was in an accident a few years ago, and she was waiting at a railroad crossing in Detroit, and a pickup truck did not see all the cars stopped and smashed right into her, and she has faced so many physical problems since then. And at the scene, but she thought she was okay. She had a headache, but she thought she was okay. But complications came along later. And it just made me think of this man here in this accident. He refused treatment. The guilty one refused treatment. And what a picture this is. You know, people just going through life doing their own thing, refusing to obey God, refusing to obey the things that he has said. And people are getting hurt all around, and yet they refuse any treatment. They plow right through, going their own way. Notice with me in the book of Judges, the very last chapter. Judges chapter 21, in verse 25. Judges 21:25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was what? Right in his own eyes. Here's this guy, Saturday afternoon, 3:50. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know where his mind was. But he went right on through that stop sign and killed someone. And he's offered help. I don't need any help. I don't need anything. Notice in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. Do you realize that's what the world is doing? They're going their own way. They don't care about anyone else. They refuse treatment from the Lord. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which what? Seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are what? Ways of death. People right now, I'm reading in New York City, are just there. They are attacking people in broad daylight. Just attacking people. And I don't know if any of them are getting caught. Some people are just standing by watching it. They don't want to get involved. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there are so many people that are being hurt every day. Husbands are being hurt. Wives are being hurt. Children are being hurt. Friends are being hurt. Relatives are being hurt. Co-workers Our nation is being hurt. Our country is in an absolute mess and chaos. But for the average person, they're refusing treatment. They think they're okay. They don't think they have any needs. Notice in Proverbs 30, verse 20. Proverbs 30, verse 20. Proverbs 30, verse 20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith what? I have done no wickedness. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. I've done no wickedness. That's the state that America is in today. So do you see the picture? The 74-year-old man is dead because of the sin of a 33-year-old man. And nothing's wrong with me. He refused treatment. He refused to go to the hospital. And so sinners abound everywhere. They refused to listen to the gospel. They refused to enter into a church and hear the gospel. Why? Nothing's wrong with me. Nothing's wrong with me. And notice in Revelation chapter 9, Revelation chapter 9, they don't think they have a problem, and they go right on their way. Revelation 9 and verse 20. Revelation 9:20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet what? Repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils. I tried to give a gospel tract. Actually, he accepted it, but to a man this week, my wife was with me in a store, and he said he was a Native American. Well, what did they worship? Spiritism. They had their witch doctors. And he let us know that his beliefs were different. And these people didn't repent that they should not worship devils. That's what spiritism is. It's worshiping devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither what? Repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. You see, they're like the adulterous woman there of Proverbs 30, verse 20. I've done no wrong. What have I done? I haven't done anything wrong. There's no wickedness in me. One last chance for freedom. Let's go back to John 8, verse 32. John 8:32. So Americans are really living it up over this weekend. Traditionally, you know, it's a big vacation weekend, and it's probably one of the heaviest times for alcohol sales, I would imagine. People drink a lot on this holiday, thinking they're free. But John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? How many Americans would say they're free, and yet they don't feel free? They hate their job. They just look forward to the weekend. Really, they're miserable a lot of times. But verse 34, Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin. So they're taking that 24-pack or whatever it is of cans of beer out of the grocery store, and they're thinking, boy, I'm going to drink this. I'm going to live it up this weekend. What that really is, if you could really see what that is, there's handcuffs around their wrist and around that case of alcohol. They're in bondage to it. They don't realize it, though. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So, one last chance for freedom. Number one, find the truth. Verse 32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One man I talked to yesterday talked about nature. You know, that's where he... Well, I told him, I said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So you can find the proof of God in nature, but you will not find in nature how to be saved unless someone's carved it on a tree, or unless one of those gospel tracts we sent up at Sister Verberg's funeral, unless you're out in nature and you find a balloon that... But it's not written naturally in nature how to be saved. Yes, there's the evidence there's a God, but you don't know how to find him unless somebody gives you the truth. Now notice in chapter 17, John 17, where do you find the truth? John 17, verse 17. Sanctify, that means set apart. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy what? Thy word is truth. So the Bible we're talking about, the Bible is the truth. Notice in Psalm 119, Psalm 119 and verse 160. Psalm 119 and verse 160. The Bible says, thy what? Word. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So it's the Bible where we find the truth. And then back in John chapter 8 there. So one last chance for freedom is, number one, find the truth. Well, that's the Bible. Number two, repent and admit your slavery to sin. Now out on the sign, it says, on the one side, it said, China sells freedom. And then let's see, it was a flash, bang, smoke, gone. And then the scripture verse dealing with that. And on the other side is Jesus gives freedom and repentance, faith, and it's eternal. The fireworks, we like to see the beautiful fireworks, but they just last a few moments and they're gone. But Jesus offers freedom that's eternal. So we need to repent of our slavery to sin. In John 8:34 there, Jesus answered him, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And number three, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Verse 36, John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And in John chapter 1, how do we get that free salvation? In John chapter 1 and verse 12, but as many as what? Received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name. That's how we receive him. We believe on his name. We call upon him. In Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, Romans 10, 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt what? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall what? Not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, so it doesn't matter what nationality. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the next verse gets into our responsibility, trying to get the message to them. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So how beautiful are our feet today? You know, independence is celebrated one day of the year. And it's the most well-known, really, for the fireworks and they're pretty, they're loud, but so short-lived. In Christ, we have something eternal. In closing, let's go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Fireworks are pretty. They're impressive. They're loud. They're powerful. But they're so short-lived. And that's such a picture of life. The powerful things in life, the impressive things in life are so short-lived so often. But Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of what? Life. In thy presence. In God's presence is what?
Fullness of joy.
Now, isn't that funny, though, that so many people today think, well, I don't want to be a Christian because I won't have any fun. I can't have any pleasure. Their thinking is so wrong. It says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are what?
Pleasures
forevermore. That's what awaits us in Christ. That's where true freedom is. And I pray that we could get that message out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can have true liberty, true freedom in Christ. I pray that indeed you would be our lives. Not just a side note on one day of the week, but I pray that every day you would be our life when Christ appears, who is our life. I pray, Lord, if there are any here today that have never yet been saved, that today they would realize that Jesus is the Son of God, the pure and precious, sinless Son of God, born of a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect, sinless life, and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in his own body on the tree, was buried and rose again victorious from the grave, proving that his blood was sufficient to wash away our sin, and death, the penalty of sin, could not hold him. He rose from the grave. May no one leave here today rejecting him. I pray, Father, you would help us. We want our hearts to be right with you. We want to do your will. We want others to know this forgiveness of sins, to know true joy in life, true happiness, true freedom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.